Welcome to Tell Journalism. My name is Michael O'Connell. I'm in Nashville right now. I came down this afternoon for the start of the Association of Alternative News Media Conference 2014 here at the downtown Sheraton. The first interview that I hooked up in connection with the convention is with Jen Sorensen, a cartoonist. Do you call yourself a cartoonist, an illustrator?
A cartoonist. That's fine, yeah.
That's fine. And, well, you're here in connection with the Austin Chronicle, but you publish in lots of alternative papers. You publish online as well.
Yes, that's correct. I got my start in alt-weeklies, and I self-syndicate to about 20 to 25 alt-weeklies. But in the past few years, I guess my strip has grown into other media, such as, you know, there's a few new websites like Medium.com and Daily Kos and Alternate, which have been running my strips, and new magazines like The Nation and The Progressive.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, that's legitimate.
So I'm mixing it up.
You're mixing it up. You're mainstreaming it, sort of. And we were talking before, and the name of the strip used to be something.
Used to be Slowpoke for many years, and some papers still use Slowpoke. But I changed the name of the strip basically to my own name, Jen Sorensen, to be a little more like daily editorial cartoonists who just go by their name, or like a columnist.
Do you see yourself more as an editorial cartoonist than less of sort of a daily or weekly strip person?
Well, you know, editorial cartoonists, you know, you tend to think, I guess, of the usual daily cartoon, you know, traditional single panel one. But, you know, I guess I think that multi-panel alternative strips also sort of fall under the umbrella of editorial cartooning.
Yeah, so, yeah. I would think so. Yeah, in sort of that tradition of that type of comic strip. Thinking of all the different types of alternative press. For me, I'm much older than you, so then I start thinking about things like under the Underground Comics and like National Lampoon and things like that had strips in them and that were ran regularly and stuff. That was ancient. It was before you were alive, probably.
Not that young.
Okay. All right. Well, you're not that old either. Anywho. You actually got started in Virginia at the University of Virginia.
Yes,
down in Charlottesville. Is that now you started drawing for the paper there?
Yes, I in the 90s. I had a daily strip for 1 year in the daily newspaper, which was the University Journal, now defunct. But I also did some illustration work for this sort of proto alt weekly called the Declaration, which. It was a weekly paper, and I used to do some calendar listing illustrations for them, and you know, I didn't actually switch to doing a regular weekly strip until a couple years after I graduated, and that's when I started pursuing weekly papers.
Are you primarily a cartoonist or illustrator, or do you supplement your income in some other way?
I'm a full-time cartoonist.
Wow.
Bravo. I've been telling people it's sort of like a long tail business model. Alt weeklies are
long tail. It should end up sometime in the 22nd century.
alt weeklies are still my bread and butter. But you know, then there's websites, magazines, and then I sell prints through my website. Then there's just random weird stuff, like getting invited to go talk, there's speaking, the occasional speaking engagement, or selling an original. There's always some weird thing kind of popping up that you least expect.
what is speaking engagement? Are they sort of about cartooning, or are they sort of about the voice that you have in your strip? Is it
Well,
what would it be about?
I haven't done that many yet. The ones I have done, at universities, sometimes, there'll be like either a panel about cartooning or, most recently I went to a consortium of progressive groups that had gotten a grant, and they wanted some ideas from outside the nonprofit world. And so, they paid me to come and give them the
ooh,
outsider perspective.
Ooh, progressives with money.
Yes,
that's,
well.
That's great.
So, yeah, just random stuff like that.
So, we've on the podcast, we've had this is sort of coming from my corner of the production crew. We've had a couple of people on. Michael Kavanagh was the most recent one, who's the Washington Post columnist who writes about graphic novels and cartooning and comics and mm-hmm. things like that. And he interviewed you, and that was actually kind of how you came to my attention, because you had been in Washington, D.C. rather recently because you had won the Herb Block Award for cartooning.
Yes.
Which
yes,
is kind
yes.
of a kind of a big deal.
It was a big deal. Yep. It was possibly the thrill of my career. And Michael has been great about covering political cartoons and alternative comics and really just, you know, all sorts of genres. And so I was just up in D.C. a couple months ago for the Herb Block ceremony, where I gave a speech at the Library of Congress, which was kind of... That was a big
daunting.
Deal. And
you're going to speak at the Library of Congress.
Yes, yes. And it was, even though the weather was atrocious, it was a week-long deluge in D.C. that week. There's still a lot of people there, and although I suspect it's because Bob Woodward was the guest lecturer. So,
and he liked your strip.
He told me I had an edge. Take that as you will.
you have been confirmed by the Dean of Journalism yes. that you have an edge. Well, that's good. So since we're talking about your edge, how would you describe your cartooning? How do you describe your sort of your voice in the way you draw and the subjects you choose?
Well, my strip is in the tradition of This Modern World and Life in Hell. It's definitely
yeah.
an alt-weekly strip. Multi-panel. A little wordier than a traditional political cartoon. In my case, I try to mix it up a little bit with cultural strips as well as political strips, although I'm very often political. I guess sometimes I like to do a story, like a news story, that isn't quite getting enough attention. Like, you know, I like to get away from the big headline of the week. I'm not always good at doing that. But, you know, if I can find some quirky little news story or something that I needs some satirizing.
Some skewering.
Some extra skewering. And I see it as not getting it. In an ideal world, that's what I do that week.
So, I mean, the editorial cartoonist, it's a grand tradition in journalism. We talk about on the podcast all the time, you know, how things are sort of changing. You know, how do you see, from your corner of this industry, how do you see things changing and affecting what you do?
Well, just a few years ago, I was asked to speak at the Ohio State University...
The Billy Ireland
Cartoon Museum, yeah.
Yes.
And they, you know, every 3 years they have a big cartoon
symposium.
Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this was, I think, 2010. And in my talk, I showed, just to show how much money I was making from the internet versus print, I put... like, I think, you know, 50 or 100 kibbles of my dog's food in a dog bowl. And I was like, okay, this is the print revenue. And then I took out everything but two kibbles, and that was my web revenue. Now, things have actually changed a lot since then, very rapidly, with, these new websites or, you know, websites that have decided to start a comic section, like Daily Kos, Medium, Alternet, I think there's been a lot of growth online for me as a cartoonist. But strangely enough, after the very scary period of like 2008, 2009, I started picking up weekly clients again. And I'd say I've picked up about half a dozen this year. So I don't know. I think, the economy is turning around and we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you see, how do you see digital? Is it changing any way that you sort of interact with your audience?
Well, I definitely get a lot more immediate feedback. I used to say, filing a cartoon was kind of like putting a message in a bottle, and because you just don't necessarily see how people are reading it at the other end. But nowadays with social media, I get ample feedback, which is fun, and I think it does give me a sense of what's working and what doesn't, and the kind of thing that people like.
How do you see that your strips sort of evolved over the years?
Well, when I first started in the late 90s, I was a lot more influenced by underground comics of the 60s. And so I was kind of coming out of a period where I was reading a lot of Crumb. There's an anthology called Twisted Sisters of women cartoonists. And that I'd written my senior thesis about that. And so... I had maybe a little more of an old school and less political take on things. And then came the 2000 presidential election and 9/11 and all this stuff happened that made, you know, it made doing non-political comics seem a little bit silly and frivolous, or at least, you know, I it was a very serious time. And so I'd always been...
Quit the yucks.
It was, you know, the death of irony. Well, we see that didn't last very long. But anyway, I think for me and other cartoonists, it was a galvanizing period in terms of becoming more political. And, you know, it was just tough to think about anything else. You know, the Iraq War started. I mean, it was just... I shudder to think of those years. But...
make us laugh.
Yeah.
entertain us. Give us your sardonic humor, your wit.
So if anything has changed over the years, it's probably been that, you know, the strip is maybe a little less whimsical and surreal and weird than it used to be. Although I try to throw in as much whimsy as I can while still making a point.
Whimsy is a wonderful thing when you can do it.
Yes.
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 So I'm curious. You did your thesis on women underground comics or artists of the 60s, 70s?
Yeah, I guess my thesis was that sort of the body humor of women's underground comics of like 60s, 70s, and 80s that are collected in the Twisted Sisters, that this was sort of, feminist and you know, it was, looking back on it, I'm not sure that it was the most,
the deepest
thesis. Although what I did was I invoked Bakhtin's theory of the carnival and how the carnival can be sort of subversive. But basically it was just saying that, like, you know, lower bodily humor is impolite.
It's impolite. It's funny because you go back and, you know, everybody talks about, like, the underground comics and stuff. And you go back and a lot of, and I'm not going to, there's a lot of wonderful and great satire and interesting things in there, but a lot of it is just pretty base. But, you know, the point was, this was their opportunity to sort of break those barriers. And I don't know. Anyway, that was that tangent. So are there any artists or any cartoonists that sort of inspire you, do you see?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, some of my favorites, Roz Chast. I actually just had the privilege of hanging out with her in Austin when she came through she did a lecture. And we got together afterwards and hung out at her hotel bar. And it was just like... the best experience I've had in Austin yet. And of course it was like, you know, she's from New York, so not that Austin isn't full of plenty of fun stuff, but so I'm a huge fan of Roz Chast, and a bunch of my peers who do alt weekly strips, Ruben Bowling, who does Tom the Dancing Bug. He's, you know, one of my absolute faves, and of course Tom Tomorrow and Matt Bors and Keith Knight. And there's a lot of great alt-y stuff out there, and hopefully with the internet it'll if, you know, alt weeklies can continue to rally a little bit, you know, I think it can survive.
And self-publishing. And
yes.
Yeah. I'm guessing you've been to DC for the Small Press Expo?
Oh yes. In fact, I went just about every year while I was living in Charlottesville, and I'll be going this year.
Okay, well, cool. Maybe I'll see you there.
I think they're having sort of a special on alt-weekly comics of the 80s and 90s is the theme. And, I think it's sort of a look back at the history of those. And, I think it'll be a great show.
Yeah, no, my own interest in comics sort of came out of comic books and comic strips and things like that. And so I'm less into the alternative press, but I found in recent years as I'm meeting more people, DC actually, fortunately, there's a, you know, Michael Kavanagh is one of them. There are a number of people who were really good local cartoonists, and, mm-hmm. and I've had the opportunity to meet them. We've interviewed a couple on the podcast. I've been able to tap into that well of inspiration and seeing the way people are telling stories. And, you know, how do you challenge yourself to come up with strips?
How do I challenge myself?
Or do you not? Did this fall out of you?
Well, I guess, you know, I keep a notebook for those times when something does just fall out of the sky. You know, most weeks it's a matter of just, you know, reading the news, combing through various blogs and news stories to see what really, upsets me the most, and you know what really gets under my craw.
You draw from angst.
Yes, exactly. Because some things it'll be like a big news story, but I just don't care. It's like it's boring. It's I've done it a million times. You know, how many times can you say Republicans are bad, or Benghazi? And
apparently a lot of people can say it quite a lot.
Yeah, well, that's true. I guess it's more exciting for some people than others. But yeah, I pick and choose, whatever just kind of moves me. And then I just scribble a bunch of random ideas kind of in little bubbles all over a piece of paper. And hopefully that leads somewhere.
Well, let's talk about what you're doing here this week or in Nashville. Are you going to be doing a presentation or anything?
No presentation. I have a booth at the trade show, but I think I'm going to go to a bunch of panels and catch up with a few people here that I know, and hopefully meet various editors. And it's sort of weird when you're an exhibitor at the trade show. I feel like I'm sort of straddling both worlds, because like I'm also a content contributor, but then I also am like trying to promote my strip. So so I'm sort of I have one foot in both worlds this weekend.
So what advice would you give to somebody who wanted to get into cartooning now?
I feel like success as a cartoonist is so specific to who you are, what kind of work you do, and the years in which you're active. And so I know that sounds like a cop-out, but I would hate to start doing what I do now. I mean, I think it'd be very difficult. I benefited probably from having my foot in the door before, the big recession and back when alt weeklies were really, really booming in the late 90s and early 2000s. But if someone were starting today, if they wanted to do exactly what I'm doing, I would send mailers out to all the papers on the AAN list. And, coming to conventions helps. Going to places like SPX and this convention, I find just getting out of your house and meeting people, it pays off in ineffable ways. You can trace things back to just some weird chance encounter years ago. It's funny how that works.
I'm constantly amazed at all the different types of either the comic book conventions or the Small Press Expo or book conventions or things like that, where there will be people who are cartoonists or self-publishing their own strips or comics or graphic novels or whatever. And I see the same people over and over again, and they seem to be getting a little more successful or getting more and more connections. There seems to be a tribe out there somewhere that supports it. Well, in some way.
The Small Press Expo has definitely grown a lot since I started going in, I think it was 1997. I mean, it has just exploded, and it's a lot more diverse now, both in terms of gender and, ethnicity. It just it looks a lot different than it did in the late 90s.
Do you read graphic novels?
Not as much as I should. I'm embarrassed to say. I
As do I.
I really need...
It's like everybody's like, oh, you should read this. Like, yeah, I should. And you just hit time.
I feel like I've been so caught up in my, my little alt-weekly world and political cartooning, and just keeping up with my friends' work keeps me busy. I love Alison Bechdel. She's one of my absolute favorite graphic novelists. And, of course, she was a weekly strip artist for a long time.
And you read her both her books?
Yes.
Yeah, there. I just went fun home.
Yeah, fun home and
the other
Are You
one.
My Mother?
Are You My Mother? Yeah. I think. No, those are excellent. Those are amazing books. And if you're at all interested in reading, I guess I was going to say fiction. That's not really fiction. That's more memoir.
Yeah.
I guess. And just really, really well written. Really, really intelligent and very human.
She's absolutely brilliant.
She
has such a literary mind, and just the combination of the art and the writing is so solid. I mean, it's kind of rare to see it all come together like that.
Yeah, the second book where she weaves in Virginia Woolf, and I can't think of the name of the psychotherapist.
Wallacott.
All these different things. Like, what's going on here? And it was all her trying to come to understand her mother. Because the first book was about trying to understand her father. which...
I actually interviewed her about that book for the Progressive magazine, which you can find online, the interviews online.
Well, since you're saying online, what where can people find your work?
You can find my work on my website at jensorensen.com, and that's Sorensen with an S-E-N at the
S-E-N.
End.
So that makes you Norwegian?
Danish, but that is also the Norwegian spelling.
Oh, okay.
Most people want to use the Swedish spelling, though.
Okay.
90% of the time.
Okay. Well, I get half a credit for realizing it wasn't Swedish. Okay. Well, this has been great. I'm sure I'll check in with you and see how everything's going at the booth the next couple of days. But thanks for taking the time to talk.
My pleasure, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. Find more info on us and download other episodes at itsalljournalism.com. This podcast is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.